Hello, I'm Eric Corman, Communications Director at League of Education Voters. In this podcast, we interview policymakers, partners, and thought leaders to spotlight education policies, research, and practices so that together we can create a brighter future for every Washington student. Brooke Brown is the 2021 Washington State Teacher of the Year. Brooke has taught English and Ethnic Studies at Washington High School in Tacoma for 14 years. As a powerful voice for equity in her building and district, she leads equity trainings, co-leads the school's equity team, serves on the Franklin Pierce School District's equity team, and represents student voice on the school's foundation team, which focuses on addressing the racial opportunity gap by advocating for restorative justice practices and equitable discipline procedures. Brooke believes that learning is best done in community. She works to center student experiences and reminds them how much she learns from them, too. She advocates for educating the whole child, often using content to teach life lessons and challenge her students to look for ways to improve their communities. Brooke uses her classroom to create a brave, inclusive environment for students to show up authentically by modeling it herself. She teaches her students about radical self-love and the need to cultivate an understanding of their identity as a prerequisite for developing empathy and compassion for others. Brooke also realizes the need to impact the system in order to positively affect her students and the teaching profession. She's an integral part of the Bridge to College leadership team, where she mentors teachers in her area to support their students in rigorous, relevant coursework. She worked tirelessly to bring ethnic studies to her school and district and serves on the Office of the Superintendent of Public Instruction's Ethnic Studies Advisory Committee, where she works with a small group of stakeholders to create the framework the state will adopt for ethnic studies implementation statewide. She believes in the importance of hiring and retaining staff of color and has worked to mentor teachers in her building. She's committed to her students, her colleagues, and the teaching profession. She believes in each student and gives 100% to everything she does. Brooke, congratulations for being 2021 Washington State Teacher of the Year, and thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Brooke, why is it so important for students to feel safe and that they belong in school?
That's a great question. I think students are just like adults in that when you feel like you belong somewhere, then you can be ready to learn and you can really be ready to engage. And that when you don't feel safe or that you belong in a place, you're not going to really be invested. And so when we want students to be authentically engaged in the work that we're doing, we have to first meet their natural needs, right? We have to make sure that we've connected with them as people, and then they're able to learn and just have the capacity to be ready to learn.
How do you do that? How do you connect with students as people? I'm sure you've got some techniques that I'm sure we all could learn from.
There's no magic. Just the biggest thing for teachers, and I think people in general, is just authenticity and vulnerability. I think when you just bring your whole self to that space and you just are yourself, you know, teacher Brooke is the same person as mom Brooke is the same person as friend Brooke, in that I just genuinely want the best for the people that I'm around and engage with. And so I think the more that we do that with our students, as well as, you know, I have high expectations, but before we jump right into learning, I want to first get to know them, and we spend time getting to know one another and doing activities where they get to share where they're from and who they are and their culture and what they're interested in. And then that way we can connect and students can see what they have in common with one another, as well as what we have in common.
Well, what does that look like when they're sharing their culture and where they come from and how they think? Is it having a discussion topic that they respond to? Do you play certain games?
That's a great question. The first assignment that I do in every class is an opportunity for them to just share. I'll give you an example.
Great.
So the first assignment is they get a blank copy of some sunglasses. And so they come with their favorite quote, and it's a quote that sort of embodies the way that they think about the world, or their favorite. It could be a song lyric. It could be something from a movie. It could be something that their mom or their grandmother always says. And we start with that. I usually start by sharing one of my favorite quotes by Maya Angelou, which is, "Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better." And then I model for them and just really share how that impacts my life and how I always want to do my best and bring my best into every situation that I'm in. when I know better, right, then I'm continuously trying to improve. And so I try to instill in all my students that it's not a competition. We're not competing with anyone except who we were yesterday. And so that quote kind of embodies for me sort of my philosophy about life and what I hope to instill in my students. So we have that opportunity to just kind of start off together. I listen to a lot of like lo-fi hip hop in my class, or like Damian Escobar, Electric Violin, or so I kind of set the mood. Another thing I do in my classroom is I keep the lights in the front and the back off, and I have like Christmas lights up. Just kind of sets this place as like, I always tell my kids, when they enter the room, we're entering the learning zone. And so we just set like this tone of like, we're here to learn, but we're also here to connect. We're having this shared human experience at this moment. And so, yes, I'm your teacher, but we're really creating this community of learning where their knowledge is valued and my knowledge is valued and respected, and I respect them and they respect me. And so we just have this community where we're all going to learn together. So they have the opportunity to color in the lenses with things that shape the way they see the world, and they get to fill it in with however they want to. And then we spend the first day. After that, we come and sit in a big circle and students just share. Each person gets to share, and then we snap for each other. And it's just a great way to just create community. And then I put them up. And so it's the very first thing that goes up on the wall. And so you'll see students after class just going up and kind of looking at each other's. And it's a great way for them to break the ice. It's a great way for them to really see how much they have in common with one another. And so maybe peers that they didn't know that they shared similar interests or backgrounds or things like that, they're able to connect and see. So that's one of the ways that I try to provide a brave environment for my students to just share about who they are and bring their whole selves into my classroom.
Now, how can you do that in this environment of remote learning to create that space for learning where the students feel connected to each other and to you?
That is a tall order.
Yeah.
As a 15-year teacher this year, starting off, I'm definitely having a lot of flashbacks to my first year of teaching. And I'm sure a lot of veteran teachers are feeling the same way. So shout out to all the teachers who are teachers of the year doing the work right now, because this is hard. Yeah. This is hard. And so I don't have any magic answers. I think every day I try to start class with a check-in. So it could be something like, what's your favorite pizza topping? We had a whole discussion about whether or not pineapple belongs on pizza before we got to the day's content. Or if you had a superpower, what would it be and why? And then really also checking in on, you know, 1 through 10, how are we doing, and really connecting. And then I'm able to reach out to students who, if I'm seeing consistent low numbers, I can really connect one-on-one. So trying to provide spaces for students to share how they're doing, but also not forcing them. So that's kind of that balance. Yeah, it's tricky. It's hard. Yeah. But I'm trying every class period to connect with students and every opportunity that I can.
How are the students responding to what you're doing?
I mean, it varies between class period and time, but for the most part, we have a lot of good conversations. Yeah. For the record, pineapple does belong on pizza.
That is good to know. And I tend to agree. And my son would agree too. Now, you wear both hats, not just as a teacher, but also as a parent. And you have 4 children at home, which is, I have one and he's a handful. So it's hard for me to imagine what 4 could be like. What advice do you have for parents during COVID remote learning?
That's another great question. I think that there is no magic solution. And I think just how we treat every day in life, we just got to keep showing up. When we keep showing up and doing our best and encouraging our kids and just having grace for each other and for one another, I think that's really helpful. Just acknowledging that it's hard. I think when we know that we're doing a really hard thing right now in an unprecedented time, and allowing our kids to feel all of the emotions. I read a great article in the spring when closure first happened, and they named that what we were feeling was grief, and acknowledging the grief that our kids have and our students have, that they just came home from school one day and haven't gone back, and how hard that is, because so many of our students, our kids' identities are connected to learning and school and to their teachers and their friends, and just how real that is for our little people, you know, our kids. And we just have to really recognize and remember that. I think for us, some things that have helped us, and again, we're not doing everything perfect at all by any stretch, But my husband always has such good ideas and he has so much wisdom. And so being on a routine has been helpful. And he always encourages us to have something to look forward to. So we have specific days of the week that we do different activities, just keeping the kids excited about things. Cause I think it's hard. It's hard to be excited to sit in front of the screen, setting up little rewards, those things, but I'm open to suggestions too. So I'm always trying to learn. I think it's just figuring out what works best for your family.
So let me ask you about your own education journey. What worked for you and what didn't work so well?
When I think about what worked and didn't work when I went through school, I was a kid who I loved to read. I have books stacked all over the place in my house. My husband is an avid reader too. So we've got bookshelves in almost every room. So for me, school was something that I really enjoyed. I loved school. I loved learning. That part wasn't difficult for me. I think the hard part for me was sort of feeling like I belonged at school. And so for me, sometimes I felt like it wasn't cool to be smart. It wasn't cool to like school. And so for me, that was a struggle that I had. When I think about my own students and my own children going through the educational system, right? It's really thinking about how learning is so important. And I think tying learning back to our why, like what are we doing at school? And I think the more clear we make that for our students, those really clear connections to what sort of person they want to be, how they want to change their community for the better, and how each of those subjects and things that they're learning at school is important to make the difference and to have the knowledge that they need to have. I think those are really important skills that I wish we would have spent more time focusing on when I was in school. And so I think when I teach, I always think about my own kids. And so I always treat my students like I would want someone to treat my own children. That's something that I would say I wish we had more of, was just a realistic understanding of what life will be like after high school.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. We got to know why we're spending all these hours sitting in a classroom or connecting remotely to a classroom these days. I'd like to unpack a little bit about what you said about belonging, because we started with that. And I'm wondering, what would have given you more of a sense of belonging? Would it have been seeing, you know, more teachers of color? Would it have been adults in the schools reaching out to you to try to get to know you more as a person? Because belonging is one of those things that is so important, and yet it's really hard to define sometimes.
It's so elusive. I think for me, when I think about belonging and I think about my own experiences, I'm biracial. And so I think for me, if we think about the lenses that I have my students create at the beginning, that's a big part of who I am and how I show up. And so part of feeling like you belong in a space is that your experience is welcomed and your experience is reflected in the space that you're occupying. So it could be, for my students, when I think about it, it's what's on the walls. So I try to always make sure that the decorations in my classroom, the things that I choose to put up are welcoming and diverse and reflect lots of different students. I also think about reflected in what we're learning about, how important it is that what students are learning about reflects who's in our classrooms, how much richer our experience is when we get to learn about one another, right? School is more than just learning subjects. School is learning how to be community members. School is learning how to treat other people and connect with one another. And I think so much of being a global citizen today and so much of what we need to be focusing on is really how we can, I always say in my room, like, how can we learn how to accept and respect ourselves so we can learn how to accept and respect one another? And and how can we serve each other in our communities? And how can we make the space around us better? And how can we cultivate our own unique gifts and passions? You know, it's not a competition and we all have different gifts and things that we're good at. So how can we figure out what we're passionate about and then do that and pursue that with 100% of who we are?
So if you were in charge of our state education system and you didn't have any kind of budgetary constraints whatsoever, as 2021 Teacher of the Year book, what would you do?
Oh man, that is hard to think about. I think the biggest thing for me is really thinking about how COVID has really just shown us how, I mean, we knew it before, but really seeing gaps that we have and that things are not working for every single one of our students. And so for me, it would be really developing plans to make sure that every student and every family has what they need to be successful. That's what I would focus on is when we think about remote learning and we think about access, you know, does every student have access to technology? Does every student have access to internet? Does every student have access to be able to eat? And does every student have access to everything that they need just to be able to learn? So for me, it would really be about how can we make sure that resources are distributed in a way that we're providing what's necessary for every student and family to be successful, for every student to reach their full potential. For me, that would be a big focus.
Brooke Brown is the 2021 Washington State Teacher of the Year. Brooke, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening. To learn more about League of Education Voters or to support our work, please visit educationvoters.org.